Good morning. It's really good to see you guys this morning. Clay's been talking to us for the last few weeks about the resurrection and about how that's changed the world, but more importantly, how that's changed our lives and how that are we living into that resurrection and to look at it from that perspective. And I've been studying Peter's epistles for the last few months, and I look at Peter, and I want to read one excerpt that I want to share with you. This is from 1 Peter 1, 3 through 4. Praise the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ. According to his great mercies, he has given us new birth into a living hope, the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, and to an inheritance that is imperishable, uncorruptible, unfading, kept in heaven for you. I got to be honest with you, this is not the Peter I see in the gospel so much. And so I think I'm going to want to talk to you guys today about Peter's two swords. So who was this Peter that Jesus is going to call into this living hope? First off, he was very self-assured. He knew who he was and knew where he was going. He faced dangers and hardships head on, and he knew he could conquer anything. He was independent-minded. Being real self-assured. He was stubborn. Didn't like change so much. But for me, the one that stands out for me was that he was opinionated. He was certain that his ideas were the right ideas, and he voiced them often, and he voiced them loud. And this is the guy that Jesus is going to call. So one day, Jesus is on the beach in the Sea of Galilee, and he's teaching to a group of people sitting on the shore. And Peter and Andrew had been out fishing all night and hadn't caught a thing. And Jesus says, "Peter, let me set in your boat and put out a little bit so they can hear me better." And Jesus said, "Sure, Lord." Now, Peter already knew who Jesus was. Andrew had introduced him to him. And evidently, Jesus had impressed Peter, so he didn't question it. So he put out, and Jesus gave the sermon, and Peter sat there and listened to it. And after he finished, he said, "Peter, put out a little deeper and let down your nets." And he said, "Lord, we fished all night." He did it anyway. And he caught a bunch of fish. He caught so many that he couldn't get it in the boat. So he called his two friends, James and John, and they brought their boat over, and they loaded both boats up with fish. And Peter fell on his knees. I said, "I wasn't going to do this." And said, "Lord, I'm a sinful man, depart from me." And Jesus looked dead in his eyes and said, "Get up, Peter, and follow me. And I'm going to make you a fisher of men." So Peter gets up and follows him. Now, I've always wondered what he did with the fish. So, you know, that was a lot of money. So I'm pretty sure God had already had this worked all out. Peter was going to be leaving his family, and that fish was going to provide for him. So Jesus had everything under control. He had Peter. He had Peter's family. Everybody was there because of who Jesus is, and they were going to be cared for. Now, I'm not going to go through everything that Peter did that was so amazing as Peter, as he was a disciple following Jesus, but I'm going to touch on a few things. It says in Matthew 6, 7 through 13, that Peter performed miracles under the power of Jesus. They sent him out two by two, and Peter was able to cast out demons. He was able to heal people. But more importantly, he got to watch Jesus do that for 3 years, recognizing that this is somebody really special. So Peter was pretty good at following this Jesus, casting out demons and healing people. My, whew. But one day, I think it was in Matthew 16, after he'd had a go-around with the Sadducees and the Pharisees again, he asked his disciples, "Who do people say that I am?" And they said, "Well, they say you're this, and they say you're that." But then Jesus asked the most important question, "Who do you say I am?" And Peter spoke up and says, "You're the Son of the living God." And Jesus said, "Peter, only God could have revealed that to you. And upon this rock, I will build my church." I think about how that must have affected Peter. That's a lot of weight to put on somebody. But remember, Peter was Peter. So I'm pretty sure he said, "I can handle it." We'll find out later, maybe not. And then next, touch on one other thing, or two other things. One day Jesus was preaching or teaching, and he taught some really hard lessons, things that people didn't want to hear, things that that they said, "Man, we can't live with doing that. This is not something we can do." And so they left. These were the people who had been following Jesus for a while, and they all left. And Jesus turned to his disciples and said, "Will you leave me now too?" And guess who spoke up? Peter. And he says, "To whom will we go? You've got the words of life." So we've got Peter in his heart knowing that this is the Messiah, and he's the only one that has the words of life. Can you imagine knowing all that and still not quite getting it? One day Jesus was teaching on a mountain, and after he got through teaching, he told his disciples to go get in the boat and go back across the ocean, go back across the sea. And as they were paddling across it, a great storm rose, and the boat began to sink. And then along about midnight, there comes somebody walking on the water. They thought it was a ghost, but the closer they get, they said, well, maybe this is the Lord. So Peter said, Lord, if that's you, tell me to come. And Jesus said, come, Peter. So Peter stepped out of the boat, and he started walking on the water. Now, it says that he got to looking at the waves and the angry stuff, and he started to sink. Now, most preachers that I heard this sermon preached upon, they focused on him sinking. But I got news for you. The dude walked on water. And he was not the only one. The other person who walked on the water made the water. So Peter is in good company. And the last thing I want to bring up is the transfiguration. Jesus chose three of his disciples to go with him up onto a mountain. And there he met with Moses. Who was the other one? Elijah. That's it. Moses and Elijah. And man, the awe that struck into these guys. There's Moses and Elijah. Holy cow. That's crazy. You're right. But you know the most important thing that happened? Is that all of a sudden, God spoke. And he said, this is the son I love. You guys listen to him. And Peter and James and John fell on their knees. And when they looked up, there was just Jesus again. I don't know about you, but I've never had God voice anything to me audibly. And I think Peter's probably one of maybe two handfuls of people that God has spoke to, and he heard God actually speak. Man, that just blows my mind that God spoke to these three human beings. And the only thing he said was, listen to him. Now, one thing that I did find out as I was reading and studying, Peter's pretty good at action, but he's not real good at listening. So what's wrong? Why is that happening? You see, Peter knew who the Messiah was. He was the one who was going to bring the earthly kingdom about. He was the one who was going to take care of all the enemies of Rome. He was the one who was going to lead them to victory. And in Matthew 16, 21 through 14, this is on full display. Remember when I told you that in 16, Jesus had asked him, who do you say that I am? And Peter says, you're the Messiah. Just a few verses later, this happened. From that time on, Jesus began to explain to his disciples that he must go to Jerusalem and suffer many things at the hands of the elders, the chief priests, and the teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and on the third day rise to life. So Peter takes him aside and rebukes him and says, never, Lord, I'm never going to let that happen. And Jesus said to Peter, get behind me, Satan. You're a stumbling block. to me. You're not concerned with the things of God. You're concerned with the things of man. So what was Peter's problem? He knew who Jesus was supposed to be, but he didn't know who Jesus was. And I think sometimes that's the worst thing that happens to people, knowing who Jesus is, but not really knowing who he is. Because you can be lost doing that. A little later, on the night of Passover, Jesus in there with his disciples, he's been teaching and talking to them. He's told them that someone's going to betray him. And then Jesus takes off his outer garments, puts on an apron and says, "Let me wash your feet." And he starts washing feet. And when he gets to Peter, Peter said, "Lord, what are you doing?" And he says, "Peter, I need to wash your feet." And Peter says, "Never, Lord, ever are you going to wash my feet." And Jesus said, "If you don't let me wash you, you're not part of mine." And said, "Well, then, Lord, wash my head and my hands too." But the point was, Peter didn't see Jesus as a servant. He only saw him as the Messiah, the one who's bringing the kingdom. And a little later, Jesus says, "Now, you know, you guys are going to deny me and run away. And Peter says, "These might do it, Lord, but not me. I will stand by you forever." And John puts a little note in there and says, and John and Peter says, "I'll die for you, Lord." And Jesus said, "Peter, you're going to deny me three times before the rooster crows this night." And then he led him to Gethsemane. And after praying and suffering and questioning, Jesus came out and woke up the disciples and said, "It's time. The deceiver comes." And they look out and see a crowd coming with clubs and swords. And there's Judas leading them. He walks up and kissed Jesus, signifying, "This is the one you need to get." So they rush toward Jesus, and Peter steps forward and draws a sword. Who did he see coming to get Jesus? He saw enemies. He didn't see people deceived. He didn't see people caught in a trap of evil. So he draws his sword and cut off a dude's ear. And people say, "Well, he was a bad shot." I don't know if he was a bad shot or no. He cut off his ear. Have you ever tried to use a sword? Not that easy. But Jesus said, "Peter, what are you doing? If you live by the sword, you're going to die by the sword." And he put the guy's ear back on, and the disciples all ran away. Now, Peter and John didn't go far, just far enough so they were out of sight. And they followed Jesus as they took him to the high priest's house. Now, John went in because he was known by the people there. But he had to tell one of the servants to go let Peter in. So as he's walking in, this lady says, "Hey, aren't you one of those Galileans? And Peter says, no, I don't know this guy. Peter walks on in and he goes, sits by the fire where he can warm himself. And another one of the people says, you were with this Jesus, weren't you? And he says, no, I don't know him. And then a little later, another man says, I know you were with the Nazarenes. And Peter starts raining down curses on himself and swears that I do not know this man. And about that time, a rooster crows. And everything Peter thought he knew, everything he knew he was, fell into dust. And it said he wept bitterly and left. He had just denied the man that he knew was the Messiah. He just denied the man who knew had life. Can you imagine the weight of that on Peter? The sorrow, the sadness. So Peter goes and hides. The only one who stays with Jesus through the ordeals is John. So Peter and the rest of the disciples are all hiding away, hidden away. And then Sunday comes. And the ladies go to the tomb and they discover something. Something magnificent. He's not there. So they all run back and tell the disciples. Peter and John jump up and head towards the tomb. John gets there first, but Peter goes in. And he sees the burial cloth. He sees the napkin that covered his face folded up and laid on the head of the tomb. And it says, Peter went away in wonder. I've often wondered what he was wondering. And it doesn't say, but I've wondered. And then Jesus appears to the disciples. They get to see him. But you know, I don't hear anything from Peter. And he appears from again when he needs to talk to Thomas. And again, I don't hear from Peter. But Jesus says, I want you guys to go to Galilee and wait on me. I'll meet you there. So they hoof it over to Galilee. And there are seven of them sitting by the seashore just waiting. And Peter says, hey, let's go fishing. So they get in a boat, and they go fishing. And they fish all night long, and they catch nothing. And then come morning, Jesus is standing on the shore. And he calls out, hey, you guys got any fish? And they said, no, we ain't caught anything all night. And he says, put it to the left. Put your nets to the right of the boat, and you will find fish. And they caught more fish than they could put in the boat. And naturally, it was John says, it's the master. And Peter grabs up the cloak he had taken off, ties it around his waist, jumps in the water, and swims to shore. He's not going to wait on anything. So he gets there. But then again, we don't hear Peter talk to Jesus. So when they get the boat to shore, Jesus says, bring some of that fish and let's have some lunch for breakfast. More for breakfast. So they bring them. Peter goes and gets the fish and brings it. They have breakfast. And then Jesus looks at Peter. Remember, Peter's carrying a load that no man should have to carry. He's denied the one he thought he loved the most. But after breakfast, Jesus looked at Peter. And I'll take it up here from John 21, 12 through 14. Then when they finished breakfast, Jesus said to Simon Peter, "Simon, son of John, do you love me more than these?" And Jesus used the word, "Do you agape me? Do you love me the way God loves me? Without reservation, without rancor, without remorse, without anything. Do you love me that way?" And Peter answered and says, "Lord, you know that you're my friend." And Jesus said, "Feed my lambs." And then the second time, Jesus said, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And he replied, "Yes, Lord, you know I love you. I'm your friend." Now, Jesus had used agape again. And Jesus said the third time, "Simon, son of John, do you love me?" And Peter was distressed. That Jesus would ask him three times, "Do you love me?" And Jesus used the word, "Am I really your friend?" And Peter says, "You know everything, God. You know everything, Jesus. You're my friend." Peter was doubting he loved Jesus. He was doubting everything that Jesus had told him, everything that he had done. But the main thing, he doubted that he loved Jesus. And what Jesus was doing here was letting him know that you don't have to love me the way God loves me. God loves me like that. You have to be my friend. And this helped Peter get over all the stuff that was just holding him down. The idea that he could be around Jesus and feel the love again and know the love again. So Peter gets restored. Now Jesus meets with his disciples for 40 days. It doesn't say what he did or what he said, but John says in his gospel that if I wrote down everything Jesus said, it would fill up every book in the world. So we don't need to know that. We just need to know what's in the gospels. So after 40 days, Jesus goes and tells them, "Come on, guys, follow me to the mountain." And this was the ascension, when God was going to bring Jesus back and set him at the right hand. He tells the disciples, "I want you guys to go to every part of the world and tell people this message and baptize them in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Ghost." Not only to every part of the world, but to every peoples in the world, and tell them this message. But I also want you to go back to Jerusalem and wait for the one I'm sending. So they all go back. And they wait for 10 days. And on the 10th day, they're all in one room. And I'm pretty sure they were all in one accord. And all of a sudden, there was a sound of a mighty rushing wind. and things that looked like fire appeared on the heads of the apostles. And the Holy Spirit just invaded their lives. And they began to prophesy. They began to speak in tongues that were not their own. And all this noise, and it must have been a loud noise because it drew a big crowd. People were outside going, "What is going on?" And we're hearing people talk in our own languages. "What's happening?" And some of the people said, "Well, they're drunk. They've been drinking too much wine." But Peter stepped forward again. But this time, he didn't see enemies. He saw people who needed a Savior. And he opened his mouth and drew a beautiful, beautiful sword, the Word of God, the sword of truth. And he began to speak. He said, "You're wrong. This is what Joel prophesied." And then he went to David. And this is what David said about who this man is. And he gave him all kinds of proof that this was the Jesus, the Savior, the Messiah. And then towards the end, he said this in Acts 2, 36 through 38. "Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Messiah." And when the people heard this, they were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" And Peter replied, "Repent, be baptized, every one of you, in the name of Jesus, for the forgiveness of your sins, and be baptized and receive the Holy Spirit." The Bible tells us that not all of them heard the word. Not all of them heard the message. Some didn't. But that wasn't responsible for Peter. He wasn't responsible for the ones who heard. The Bible says that Jesus said, "My sheep know my voice, and they follow me." What happened that day was that as Peter spoke, people heard the voice of Jesus coming through. It wasn't Peter's voice that won him over. It was Jesus' voice that won him over. That quiet, gentle voice that calls gently. I've got a passage that is really close to my heart, and I want to share that with you. It's found in John 3, 16 through 21. And it says, "God so loved the world in this way. He gave his one and only Son, so that everyone who believes in him will not perish, but have eternal life. For God did not send his Son into the world that he might condemn it, but that the world might be saved through him. Anyone who believes in him, who believes in him is not condemned. But anyone who does not believe is condemned because they do not believe in the one and only Son of God. And this is the judgment. light has come into the world, but people love the darkness rather than the light, because the light reveals their deeds. For everyone who practices wickedness hates the light and avoids it, so that his deeds may not be exposed. But everyone who lives by the truth comes to the light, so that his works may be shown to be the accomplishments of God. One of the things that I come to realize as I get older is that people hear God's voice more clearly through people whose lives reflect God's character. And we can't reflect God's character unless we're filled with the fruits of His Spirit. And that's how Jesus tells us that we are to win people. Let our lives reflect it, our words reflect it, our actions reflect it, so that they can hear that tender, sweet voice tenderly calling. Let's pray. Father God, I thank you so much for the resurrection. I also thank you for Peter, Father. On Pentecost, he stood up and became the evangelist. And on this side of the resurrection, that's really who we all are in our own different ways, reflecting God's word and God's peace and God's mercy. I pray that for all of us. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Amen.